Hello and welcome to our broadcast. Once again, we are in Revelation chapter 3. We're going to be talking about knowing and understanding our Laodicean situation today. Talk for a few broadcasts on the subject of knowing something and understanding something. You know, there's a lot of people who know you, but there's probably very few people who understand you. And if we are going to understand someone, it's because we're going to take the time to do that. Now, we have the same situations as we look into the Word of God. We know a lot of stuff about the Bible, but do we understand a lot of things about the Bible? We're looking in the Laodicean situation here in Revelation chapter 3, and it says here in verse 14, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful, and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." Now, we know this is written by the Lord. These letters are sent. We usually say they are sent to the seven churches, which is not right. It says here, in every one of these, as it begins, it says, "Unto the angel," and that word simply means messenger, or the pastor, "of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things." He's not writing to the people. Now, he told the pastor in all seven letters to preach this stuff to the people, but he's not writing to the people. He's writing to the pastors. And he says to the pastor in verse number 15, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou, art pastor, art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee," not those church members, "thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." And so he goes on talking to the pastor, and he says, "I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see." Open your eyes, preacher, is what it's saying. Well, it's kind of hard on us, isn't it? Yeah, we like to preach this stuff to our people, but God says, no, I'll preach it to you first, and then get it right, and then you can preach it to your people. He says in verse 19, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, and be zealous, therefore, and repent." He's talking to the pastor. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. And to him that overcometh," to him, not them, "will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And as I said, this was to be preached to the churches as well. But the letters were sent to the pastors. And so back here in verse number 15, he says, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot." He said, "I know your works. You're very active. Yeah, you're getting a lot of things done, building buildings, all that kind of stuff. I know your works." But he said, "I would that thou were cold or hot." Imagine, he even puts cold first. We have an illustration back in the Old Testament in 1 Kings chapter 18 about three men. One was cold, one was lukewarm, and one was hot. Like the seven pastors in the seven churches of the book of Revelation here, these three men were in a position of leadership. I call them the monarch, the mountaineer, and the middleman. Now, the middleman, that's Obadiah. The monarch, that's Ahab. And the mountaineer, that's Elijah. Now, the mountaineer, he was the best example of a believer that God had on the face of the earth at that time. There was the middleman. He was an example of the one that Jesus is talking about here in Revelation 3:15 when he said, "I would thou wert cold or hot. Elijah was hot. Ahab was cold. Obadiah was lukewarm. Christ prefers the cold over the lukewarm because everyone at least knows where they stand. Everybody knew exactly where Ahab stood. Nobody had to guess about that. He was a wicked king. He was one of the most wicked ones that ever ruled in Israel. Everybody knew where he stood. Everybody knew where Elijah stood. No second guessing about that man. You didn't have to go home after he preached and try and figure out what he meant. He said what he meant, and he meant what he said. One was hot, one was cold. Jesus said, I wish you would rather be cold than lukewarm. Well, Obadiah was a servant of that most wicked king of Israel's history. And Obadiah first comes on the scene in 1 Kings 18 and 3, where we read that he was the governor of Ahab's house. Well, verse 3 also says that Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. Well, we read that and we say, well, see there, he was a great man of God. Let's just say that if you do your homework. Hebrew word here translated fear in this verse is translated fearful in Judges 7 and 3 and is also translated afraid in three other places in the Old Testament. I'd fear the Lord greatly too. And I'd be afraid if I was spending my life doing the biddings of Ahab and that wicked Jezebel that he was married to and hiding prophets in a cave who should have been up there standing with Elijah. Well, we get into 1 Kings 18 and 5, and it says, Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land unto all fountains of water and unto all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and the mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. People were starving to death. There was the drought for 3 years. It had not rained. And there they were concerned about horses. Now Ahab, remember, he's a king of Israel, and Israel's kings were commanded not to have horses. For the king of Israel to gather horses would be like us to gather tanks in case we need to fight a war. It was God's plan that Israel trust God to do their battles for them. It says in Deuteronomy 17 and 6, but he shall not multiply in horses to himself. It says in Isaiah 31 and 1, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots. Because they are many, and the horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. We read in Psalm 20 and verse number 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. No, Ahab said, let's get out there. We got to protect these horses. Can't rely on God to take care of us. Well, in verse number 6, we find Obadiah was alone when he met Elijah, and verse 7 says he knew him. Sure, he knew him. No doubt he was there when Elijah confronted Ahab 3 years ago. Well, in 1 Kings 17 and 1, we read, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain 3 years, but according to my word. Now, Obadiah heard that concerning Obadiah when he comes out here and he's alone now and he finds Elijah. And we read he fell on his face and said, art thou my Lord, Elijah? Elijah was not taken in by this smooth-talking hypocrite. He immediately responded, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. In verse 8, he said that. Obadiah's focus. It's interesting, his focus. He's not interested at all regarding how Elijah has managed to survive for the past 3 years. This drought has been there. He simply focuses on himself, as most lukewarm professed believers do. In verse 9 through 14, we read here, what have I sinned? Ahab is going to slay me if I do what you say. In verse 12, he says, and it shall come to pass as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. No, he didn't know nothing. He knew nothing about what the Spirit of the Lord was doing. And he said, and so when I come to tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he will slay me, but I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Yeah, he's afraid of him, all right. Verse 13, was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets? of the Lord, how I hid 100 men. Oh, yeah, and then in verse 14, oh, he may slay me. It's all about me. That's this middle man. That's this lukewarm, middle-of-the-road, mugwump, so-called believer in God. And that's the way it is today. The lukewarm Christian is totally concerned about himself. He's not concerned about the things of the Lord. That's why he's lukewarm. Well, what do we know about Obadiah? Well, one, we know he was a servant of the most wicked king who ever reigned in Israel. Two, we know he did not trust God. Three, you know he did not trust Elijah. We know he was self-absorbed, and he influenced prophets to hide in a cave. He, nor the 100 prophets, showed up on Mount Carmel, and we know this, he's never heard of again. What do we know about the 100 prophets? We know nothing, not their names, nothing that they accomplished. We know that they were hiding in a cave when they were needed on the mountain. We know that they didn't show up on Mount Carmel because Elijah said he was the only one there. And he was, as far as anybody standing up and doing what needed to be done at that hour. Well, God commanded Elijah to hide in 1 Kings 17:3, but that was totally different. He said, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before the Jordan. Now, Elijah was hiding at the command of God. He was not hiding for fear of Jezebel or Ahab. The word used for Elijah's hiding at the brook Cherith, it means to hide or to conceal in secret. Obadiah hiding the prophets, unlike Elijah, the 100 prophets were hiding for fear of their lives. We read in 1 Kings 18:4, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. The word hid here is a different word. It means to withdraw or to draw back, and is usually used in a negative way with a focus on fear. It was used of Jacob when he left Laban back in Genesis 31:27, where we read, wherefore didst thou flee away secretly and steal away from me? Well, in 1 Samuel 13:6, we read, when the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves. And that's exactly what's going on in this particular portion of Scripture that we're looking at today. Well, why do we not take a stand today? Today we don't take a stand because we're more of an emphasis on success than being true to the Word of God. Numerical growth and getting bigger buildings and larger offerings and getting the praise of the people in our fundamental circles will get us invitations to speak at famous meetings with other famous fundamentalists. And so let's just be lukewarm here. Let's not be preaching it too hard. We attend big church conferences to learn how to be successful. We do not take a stand on the issues of the day because we're more concerned about growing numerically than we are having people understand, to know and understand what's going on today. Church members are pacified because it's good for business. If the pastor is to be successful, he must be politically correct. And to be politically correct is to be sure not to preach anything that would offend anybody. The successful seeking pastor never preaches hard sermons like John the Baptist or like Jesus preached or like Paul or like Peter preached. To be successful, sermons must be positive, not offensive to anybody. That is reprove, rebuke thing that Paul was talking about. You can't do that and build a new auditorium. Paul, don't you know what you're talking about? Yeah, he knew what he was talking about. He ended up in prison and gave his life for the cause. He didn't build any big buildings, but he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. There is seldom a serious charge about anyone getting out of their comfort zone by the politically correct preacher. We need to understand that success is not building bigger caves for people to feel comfortable in. Pastors who dance around critical issues are what the Bible calls ear ticklers. Pastors need to stop preaching feel-good sermons all the time and get back to preaching the whole counsel of God. When preachers get back to the place where they cry aloud and spare not, the people will get back to God. Why we do not take a stand on the issues? It's just not the politically correct thing to do if you want to be successful in the eyes of man. And so we have the cold, the lukewarm, and the hot. Ahab was cold. Elijah was hot. lukewarm Obadiah. You and I are in one of these categories, and it's simply a choice. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve.